Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Any good people here today? Oh, a lot of you think you're very good, don't you? I mean, compared with other people. And some of you say, no, in actual fact, John, I'm pretty bad. I want to tell you, whoever you are invited to the greatest party ever. A tremendous celebration of the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Have you ever heard of a wedding where the guests refuse to attend? Or how about a guest being turned away for dressing inappropriately? Today we're continuing our study in Matthew with a fascinating parable taught by Jesus about a pretty unusual wedding. So let's join Pastor John Monroe and discover what this parable teaches us about the kingdom of God.
Have you ever attended a wedding and been told to leave because you were not properly dressed? That's what happens in this story told by Jesus as he gives another illustration of the kingdom of heaven. In our culture, people used to wear their best to a wedding, but things have changed. Now, when I officiate at weddings, I'm never sure what to expect from the guests. But to date, I don't know of anyone being turned away because they were not appropriately dressed. Of course, the parable told by Jesus is not primarily about a wedding, but about being prepared for the kingdom of heaven. I know you want to go to heaven when you die, but how can you prepare? How can you get ready? Let's listen to Jesus as he tells this story in Matthew chapter 22.
Today we're focusing on another parable of Jesus. These are stories. And this is a very unusual story. It's a story about a wedding. Weddings are times of joy, times of celebration, times of great excitement, aren't they? There's the tremendous drama in weddings, particularly when the bride in all of her beauty walks down the aisle, and even the toughest of bridegrooms, as they stand, are moved to tears as they weep, as it were, tears of joy, tears of gratitude. I think often tears of unbelief that this incredibly beautiful woman has agreed to be their wife. And then there's great tenderness at weddings, aren't there, as the bride and the groom look into each other's eyes. There's great floods of emotion. God has ordained marriage. And so we're not surprised that weddings are characterized by joy, by excitement, by celebration, thankfulness to our loving God who gives us the gift of holy matrimony. Of course, sometimes things go wrong at weddings. I think of a best man who was 6 feet six and about 260 pounds deciding to faint during the ceremony. It was tough catching him. But I am stronger than I look. And then I think of bridesmaids, some of them trying to be the star of the show sometimes, whining about their shoes, thinking, why didn't you check that up before you came? I remember one wedding in Seattle, Washington. It was in an old church. It was August. It was very hot in Seattle. There was no air conditioning, and the doors were open. And in the middle of the ceremony, as I'm giving some profound advice, which I now forget, to the couple, and a homeless man came in one door and walked right in front of us and right out the other door. Sometimes candles blow out at weddings at very inopportune times. I succeeded one time as we were signing the wedding certificate, setting it on fire, as I forgot there was a candle nearby. It was a great beginning to their wedding as we saw it go up in ashes. I remember fairly recently an outdoor wedding where the bridal party and myself were caught in a sudden rainstorm, absolutely drenched. But in every case, the couple get married, and in most cases live happily ever after. One thing I've noticed in the years I've officiated at many weddings in different settings, that what people wear has changed. Have you noticed this? When I was a little boy, teenager, going to a wedding was a big event, and if we're ever going to get a new suit, it was for the wedding. Perhaps a new pair of shoes, a new shirt, a new tie. I love wearing ties. People say, you know, you look so uncomfortable wearing a tie. Just don't tighten it so tightly, and it'll be much easier. So as a little boy, I've always worn ties. And often at the wedding, that was the first time we wore the suit or the pair of shoes or the tie. It was a special occasion. But now it seems that people turn up to weddings as if they just came out of the backyard, don't they? I've seen people coming, their clothes are very casual, very rumpled, even dirty. And we think, do they realize this is a wedding? I think of, this was in the other church, the groom's father, as we were standing and the guests were coming. He was getting angrier and angrier because he'd paid quite a bit of money for the wedding, I think, about some of the people, the way they were dressed. And he said to me, Pastor, don't they realize this is a wedding? It's not a ball game. It's not a barbecue in the backyard. But things have changed, haven't they? We're going to hear Jesus tell a story. And he's going to tell a story. It's a very unusual story. And as we come to the end of the story, we'll find that there's a man there who is inappropriately dressed at the wedding feast. Now, this is no ordinary wedding. In the story, it's a wedding given by a king for his son. Now, I think if I was invited by a king to be at the wedding of his son, a prince, I would make sure I was dressed appropriately. I would check the wedding protocol. So as we read the story, I'm going to read it to you. We're thinking, what's all this about? Jesus says at the beginning of it, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who gave a wedding feast for his son. Now remember this. He's going to tell a story about a man who gives a wedding feast for his son. And from that, he's going to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. And it's a fascinating parable. And the context is, you must always think of the context of Scripture. The context is that Jesus is in conflict with the Pharisees and the elders and the chief priests. And he's telling the story, the parable, to them. You ready for it? If you've got your Bible, open it with me to Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read the first 14 verses, which is the story of a wedding feast. Matthew 22, verse 1. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven, here it is, may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Isn't that quite a story? Let's think about it. As we think about it, remember that Jesus has told us this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's a comparison between the earthly story and the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is being compared to a man giving a wedding feast for his son. Now, Matthew frequently mentions the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Look back to chapter 21, for example, verse 31. We saw this last week in the story. Jesus said to them, middle of the verse, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." You religious leaders, remember this, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of heaven before you. And then again in verse 43, "Therefore I tell you," speaking to Israel religious leaders, "the kingdom of God," there it is, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." I mentioned Jesus taking the little children, and as he did that, again, he's making a comparison, a truth about the kingdom of heaven. That you can learn about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like little children, totally dependent on others. Humility. When John the Baptist comes, Matthew tells us, the beginning of his public ministry, what does he say? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That's his message, a message of repentance, a message that you must get right with God. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Similarly, when Jesus comes, Matthew records it in chapter 4, verse 17. When Jesus comes, what does he say? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." If you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, repentance is absolutely essential. So central to the message of Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. And here, as I say, he's comparing the kingdom of heaven to a king who gave a feast for his sons. The invitations are sent through his servants, verse 3. And very surprisingly, those who are invited, Jesus says, but they would not come. That's odd. You're getting an invitation by the king to come to the feast, but you won't come. All right. The message goes out again. And the king says, now when you ask the people, this time I want you to emphasize that it's going to be a great feast. All they need to do is come. But they don't come to the wedding feast. Some pay no attention. You begin to think of some parallels with the kingdom of heaven as the story unfolds. I hope you are. No, some pay absolutely no attention. And some say, well, I've got to take care of my farm. Others say, I've got this business deal I've got to do. And then others are very, very hostile to the servants. They treat them shamefully, and in fact, they kill them. He's saying this to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders. Understandably, in the story, the king is very, very angry. Not only have they refused to come, they've killed his servants. So he sends his troops, destroys the murderers, and burns their city. He's a very powerful man. He's much more powerful than they are. And justice is quickly executed. The culprits are not going to sit in death row for 20 years. No, they're wiped out. They're judged. Then the king changes his tactics, as it were. He says, well, obviously those who didn't accept the invitation, who wouldn't come, are not worthy. They've refused my gracious invitation. So now, my servants, I want you to go out into all of the roads. And I want you to invite everyone. You know, when you're sending out the wedding invitations, you're counting how many people, aren't you? Particularly if you're going to pay for it. There's a certain number of people who are going to come to the wedding. There's a space issue. How many people can the reception accommodate? How many people do you want to pay for? But this king has as it were, infinite resources. And he says, invite everyone you can. I'm ready. Abundant provision. And as you go, you invite. This is fascinating, isn't it? Did you notice? In verse 10, they gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. And so they all come. And the reception is absolutely packed with people. People who think they're very good, people who think they're very bad. People who are religious and people who are irreligious, the good and bad, they're all there. And so the king goes in and he looks around. And there is one individual sticking out like a sore thumb. He's not wearing a wedding garment. Now, it's not that he's naked, please, no. And it's not that the king provides the wedding garments in that culture, no. The fact is, we understand, you're invited to a wedding. The king is there. I mean, take some care with your dress. Now, this man comes. He's not clean, he's not respectable, he's not decent. He wants to be part of the party, as it were, but he's showing no respect for the king. In that culture, he is not wearing the right clothes. So the king goes to him, verse 12, and speaks to him very graciously. He said, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man is speechless. The king is giving him an opportunity. You haven't followed the protocol. You've shown disrespect. You think you can do things your own way. I'm giving you an opportunity to explain yourself. And the man is speechless. Then the king says, bind him. Cast him into the outer darkness. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as we read this, we think, you know, come on, king. I mean, the man's a bit disrespectful. You could have told him to leave, but you're not just doing that. You're casting him out into the outer darkness. That seems very severe for a man who's just got the wrong jacket on, as it were. But remember this. Jesus is not teaching about wedding protocol. This is not a formula as to how you have a wedding. That's not the point at all. Again, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Jesus, in this wonderful way, in this brilliant story, is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. So I want to teach you from the story about the kingdom of heaven. And I've got three lessons, 3 points. The first one, that the offer to enter the kingdom of heaven goes to everyone, bad and good. Isn't that incredible? Here is Jesus teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And the offer to enter the kingdom of heaven is given to everyone, whether good or bad. Now think of the two parables we thought of last week. Think of the parable of the two sons. And where Jesus is saying, as the kingdom of God is preached by John the Baptist, the people you think would go into it first, the religious people don't. The last shall be first. And the very people you think, oh, they're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. They can't enter it. No, they're the ones who do. The corrupt tax collectors, the immoral prostitutes, repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. However, even in that parable, it's clear that the kingdom of heaven is open to everyone. Everyone, that is, who humbles himself. Everyone who becomes like a little child. Everyone who repents and believes the gospel. And the second parable at the end of chapter 21 that we thought of makes the point even stronger. There the son, remember, he goes to the vineyard and he is thrown out of the vineyard and he's killed outside of the vineyard. What does that sound like? It sounds like Jesus is going to be thrown out. Thrown out of the city where God places his name, the city where there's the temple, and he's going to be cast out, led outside the wall to a place, Golgotha, Calvary, the place of a skull. And says Jesus in that previous parable, the kingdom of heaven of God has been taken away from you and has been given to a people, verse 43 of chapter 21. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. Verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived he was speaking about them. Yes, they are. They know the Old Testament scriptures. They should know better. And now the kingdom of God has come because Jesus is the king, and he's standing right in their very midst. He is the Messiah. The long-promised Messiah has come. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his teaching. And instead of embracing him and entering the kingdom of God, they are so hostile, they're going to kill him. Isn't it wonderful, though, that in this parable of the king and the feast, when he sends out his messengers, the ones who are first invited, as it were, are those that you think would come. In the story, the religious people. But did you notice how strong it is, the end of verse 3? But they would not come. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the chief priests. The king has come. And there is an offer to you to enter the kingdom of God if you repent and believe in me, the Messiah. But you would not come. Come to the feast. No. We've got something else to do. We're going to kill your very messengers.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a message titled Jesus the King. John will be back in just a moment. But first, with all of the problems to face in this world, it's easy to grow anxious and try to rely on ourselves or our resources for peace and security. But in times of uncertainty and trouble, it's crucial that we put our trust in God and refocus our lives on Him. To help you do this, John has written a wonderful personal booklet called Trusting God in Tough Times, and we'd like to send you a copy, completely free as our gift to you. Just go to our website and download or request your copy of Trusting God in Tough Times, available now at theverdict.org. And while you're there, you'll also have the opportunity to take a new step towards reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of this radio ministry. We're so grateful for listeners like you who help us share God's word across the globe by sending a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give on our website at theverdict.org. And before we close, we encourage you to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on all major podcast platforms. And in addition to these daily lessons, John has a new weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he shares his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics, giving them the careful consideration that Scottish law calls Avizandum. Make sure you never miss a lesson by following The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? We will see the conclusion of the story next time, but meantime, do you understand the importance of being ready for the kingdom of heaven? When Jesus began to preach, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Have you repented? Are you ready to enter the kingdom of God? This invitation goes to everyone, and I'm praying that you will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Tune in next time as we learn some important lessons from this wedding story.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.